Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beyond Awakening, the Future of Spiritual Practice. My name is Paul Taylor, and I am the president of Evolving Wisdom, one of the organizations producing this event. And tonight, an amazing conversation will take another step forward. The first four calls in this series have been an incredible journey for me, both in terms of the passion, the clarity, and vision expressed on them, as well as the level of enthusiasm and interest it has unleashed in people across the world. It is such a great privilege to be involved in catalyzing this big conversation so that we can all find ways to participate more deeply and effectively in the evolution of culture and consciousness. So the interest in this amazing worldwide conversation just continues to build. Over 25,000 people have now registered. And in the process, there have been some technical glitches along the way. You have asked us some questions, and some have asked how you can connect with each other personally to explore the ideas and inspirations that are arising out of this series. So the first place I want to point you to is our blog at beyondawakeningseries.com/blog. We have upgraded it in just the last few days, so check it out. This is where you'll find the schedule for the next few weeks and links where you can download the dialogues that have already taken place. You'll also be able to meet some of the other people who are part of our community and hear a little bit about their lives and the issues and questions they are interested in. So the conversation that began there will soon be migrating to a brand new community site that will be richer, more flexible, and a thoroughly engaging home for online discussions and networking. I'll be announcing more about that when it's live so everyone can visit and dive into it then. The second place I want to point you to is our emails. Some of you need to check your spam settings and add us to your address book. Please make sure that emails from Beyond Awakening Series at evolvingwisdom.com don't land in your spam folder. The other way to engage is by joining our Facebook group. There you can find links and announcements, meet other people who share an interest in the evolution of spirituality, and engage in ongoing discussions about all the topics we'll be exploring in this series. So just click on the Facebook link in the email we sent you today, or go to beyondawakeningseries.com/Facebook. So before we begin, I would like to introduce you to Integral Spiritual Practice founder Terry Patton, who is the host and visionary behind this groundbreaking series. Terry Patton is a vital leading voice in the fields of integral evolutionary practice, leadership, and spirituality. He speaks and consults internationally, inspiring challenging and connecting integral evolutionary leaders and institutions worldwide. A gifted communicator, community builder, successful entrepreneur, educator, and author of four books, Terry has worked for over three decades as a philosopher, an activist, a coach, and a teacher, helping leaders embody higher consciousness and practical actions that transform complex systems. He is the author with Ken Wilber of Integral Life Practice, and his personal website is integralspiritualpractice.com. Be sure to send him a message. Welcome, Terry.
Well, thank you, Paul, and hi, everybody. First, I want to say a special thank you to all the people making up the wonderful team that's worked really hard to create this event, and special thanks also to the generous sponsors who have made it possible for us to offer this to you free of charge, which it just makes me really happy to be able to convene this kind of a conversation and have it wide open to everyone. And you, those who are listening live or later via download, thank you for showing up, you know, with the sincerity and seriousness that you have. It's people really taking this to heart, thinking and caring and making this conversation so real and meaningful that really makes it worthwhile. It's what touches my heart. At the end of the call, I want to open up the phone lines again so we can, at least for a few seconds, hear from just a few of the voices of the over 25,000 people who are already registered. I titled this series Beyond Awakening, the Future of Spiritual Practice, because I wanted to engage a public conversation about whether a new emerging evolutionary spirituality can help us rise to the challenges of our time. And if it can, exactly how can it do it? So it's my delight tonight to be welcoming and hosting one of the powerhouse voices in the world of evolutionary spirituality, spiritual teacher Claire Zammit, in a conversation about a new woman's spirituality, unleashing the power of the co-creative feminine. As a man, it's kind of a privilege to be led into that conversation. It's usually a woman's only situation, and I think we need to be having a conversation among men and women about what's happening among women. Now, this series has already convened a conversation that has really gone pretty deep. We've asked how our spirituality can enable us to really make a difference, even ordinary people, to be a part of the solution rather than just part of this crisis that we see, in which it seems like a good deal of our world may be, in certain respects, kind of sleepwalking into calamity. Now, for us to do that authentically, we can't just be focusing on big global matters. We have to bring this directly somehow into the nitty-gritty of our lives. Each of us, you know, has to find a unique and real way to make that authentic. So in the introduction to the series, I described this great evolutionary synthesis and how it changes everything, especially taken together with our current world crises. It really recontextualizes our spirituality. And then Ken Wilber offered us a look at the stages of human development, how they relate to awakening into higher states of consciousness, and how those two things are not exactly the same, and how we may be at the dawning of a new integral age. And then Michael Murphy asserted that although a new coherent evolutionary and incarnational spirituality is certainly emerging, and he certainly articulated it beautifully, it's still meandering into ascendance rather than taking charge. He pointed out how the mainstream tends to exclude some of these things, but what he does see transforming the mainstream is practice with yoga and meditation and martial arts centers from Topeka to Salinas, as he put it. Now, in our last call, Andrew Cohen invoked the ecstatic urgency of the evolutionary impulse, saying it's totally different from fear-based responses to our world in crisis. And he and I had some fun debating various controversies. I hope you'll listen to it if you haven't already. One of the things we got into, for example, was whether the word enlightenment is useful and instructive or just confusing when we try to use it today. Now, I'm excited today because we're going to hear from a truly brilliant and radiant dynamo, a woman with a mission to liberate the feminine power that our world right now deeply needs. She's a huge creative force in the world, someone who has convened the largest community of evolutionary women that I know of in the world. She is a dear friend and a remarkable co-creative thinking partner to me, and passionately committed to serving the evolution of consciousness and culture. She's an expert in transformation. She's just finishing up her PhD in transformative education, researching the life transformations of women in her 9-month mastery program. And for over 17 years, she's been living and working in all different parts of the world, with women especially. Recently, this past June, she and her teaching partner, Catherine Woodward Thomas, created a 7-week transformational program and made it available for the first time, and conducted 2 sold-out courses, each of them with 1,000 women involved. Her free teleseminar, which is called Women on the Edge of Evolution, is the most widely attended gathering of evolutionary women ever, with over 70,000 women participating in their Feminine Power Global community. She has a special and extraordinary talent for designing personal and group discovery processes that have an uncanny capacity to catalyze profound transformation, which is exactly the nitty-gritty I was referring to before. Now, speaking more personally, something I really love about Claire is that at the same time, she's both scary smart in the sense of cutting through to the essence of things, really seeing what's going on, and amazingly sensitive in her empathic capacity to sense others' deep experience. These two talents come together to make her a very wise woman, a profound teacher, and a wonderful friend. So welcome, Claire. I'm just delighted to have you on the program.
Oh, Terry, thank you so much. I'm just so honored to be here, and especially following such incredible people like Ken and Michael and Andrew, whose contributions have been truly historic and who have been teachers to me and so many of us. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to really be here inside this conversation about practice. And you introduced me as a spiritual teacher, and I really see myself much more as a seeker and a practitioner, but just in realizing how things are unfolded, it's like, wow, there is this larger community that we're a part of. And I'm more than anything really a passionate student of transformation and really love this conversation about what's going to give us access to be able to develop and grow ourselves in the ways that are going to matter and be most relevant for the time that we're living in and the challenges and opportunities that are before us. And I know that this is a real perspective that you have been really inside of for so many years in your own work. And I'm just excited to have this opportunity to be with you and go deep into this together.
Well, great. Thank you. You know, I think that something has really opened up in your work. You know, even though in some sense it's recent, you know, you have catalyzed something really pretty extraordinary. And in that way, you're working at the forefront of a truly remarkable and emerging movement of conscious, creative women. And, you know, something has summoned you to stand in this catalytic role. I'd be interested if you could give us all a little more personal background about your own journey and how you came to be teaching about feminine power.
Well, thank you, Terry. That's a great place to start, because I can tell you that I would never have imagined that I would have been teaching about the feminine or even women. I know that growing up, I certainly identified much more with the masculine and really saw kind of like if you were feminine in any way, you were kind of on the losing team. And but I did have a very profound spiritual experience, like so many people listening on the call, fairly early in my life. And I began to really commit myself to a path of development and growth and service and contribution. And I was really passionate about this question, you know, what's going to give us access to be able to develop and grow in the ways that are going to be most significant in the time that we're living in. And I was someone who was always able to accomplish a lot and make a lot happen. And I found just in following that pathway, I was very open to different teachings, different philosophies. You know, really from this perspective, I was always that person in the back of the room who would say, yes, that's great, but how do we actually live this? How do we apply this? And I noticed that in studying different psychological and spiritual growth traditions, that it really opened up a lot for me personally. And yet after about 10 years of intensive practice on a lot of different levels, I had noticed that in spite of my own intelligence, and I'd finished a master's degree and how I'd sort of developed myself cognitively, my psychological awareness, and even the kind of spiritual work that I'd done, that in my lived experience, I felt this profound gap between the kind of creative spiritual potential of my life versus what I had been able to create. And it was very confusing and somewhat disorienting, because I knew that I was intelligent. I knew that I was powerful. I could make, you know, things happen. I had a job where I was managing 50 people and in a spiritual organization, and I had a lot of insight about a lot of different things. But yet there was this sort of underlying anxiety and depression in spite of being a very conscious and committed and caring person who had done all this work on myself. And I looked at my relationships, I had this sort of pervasive chronic pattern of giving so much more than I was receiving. And my inner experience of life was somehow feeling isolated and alone. And, you know, it was kind of an experience of like, well, this is what it is to serve God. You know, it's like somehow I'm, you know, just maybe I'm meant to be alone in life. I can remember really having those thoughts. And altogether, it was this sort of increasing anxiety of that somehow, in spite of all of this growth, this development, this ability to make things happen in my life that I had been cultivating, that I wasn't on a trajectory to really becoming the woman that I came to this world to become, or to really contribute the gifts and talents that I had in a way that would make the greatest impact. And I knew that this was not something to skip over, and that I needed to actually find out what the answer was. And I didn't have a particular path of practice in my life that really offered me the solution. And I had the good fortune, I can say now looking back, of things falling apart in my life in a pretty spectacular way.
funny how the bad news becomes the good news in retrospect.
I know. I look back and I just say I had really, really profound thing happened. So my business collapsed. I was working with it at the time, and I was teaching a bunch of courses. My teaching partner became a rock star, and you know, kind of disappeared. And my relationship ended. There was just a lot of very intense things that happened. And in that falling apart, I really made a profound commitment to kind of do whatever I needed to do, go wherever, to really kind of find the answer to this question about, you know, how do I really develop and cultivate and grow myself in a way that would really, you know, have me be able to realize and come through on this potential that I'm sensing. And I've since discovered that this experience is something that so many of us, particularly as women, are having at this particular moment. And the first thing that was really significant is that I left Australia, where I'm from originally, and I began a program in transformative learning at the California Institute of Integral Studies. And as part of that program, I engaged a 2-year kind of lived embodied research study with two colleagues who became very good friends about learning community. And I really was able to access something in this collective field of support with other women. That it was like a level that was just beyond support. I'd always had friends, and I'd always been kind of loosely being part of communities, but there was a new way that we were together inside of a collective learning context that was profoundly committed. That really catapulted my own growth and development. And I realized that one of the real keys, you know, particularly for us as women, is that, you know, the way that we learn and change, we really need each other. We need this intersubjective field. I mean, I think all of us do, but especially for us as women, that the process of learning and development is just so highly relational. And most of the kind of personal and spiritual growth context that I've been a part of, even though they're sort of loose communities, you're kind of still on your own to find your way. And so it was one of the real things that when I met Catherine, who has become my teaching partner nearly just over now 6 years ago, that we really recognized together that we knew that we needed to actually forge a whole new paradigm of learning and development for the women who are part of our community. She was a therapist. She was also an author, and I was coaching, and we just recognized the limitation of just the solitary nature of these sort of individual paths, even working one-on-one with a coach or a therapist. And we also at that time sensed that there was something really kind of big, and something was up with the concept of the feminine. A lot of women were talking about it, a lot of very successful women in our community and spiritually developed women in our community were kind of coming in to their sessions with us and really just talking about this experience of the gaps between the, you know, somehow the sort of potential that I'm holding, this experience of being 10 months pregnant and not knowing how to get the baby out. And that was certainly Catherine's experience, my experience. And so we began to see that this was a very impersonal thing that was happening. And so we got curious about the feminine. We decided to host a course, didn't really think about it that much. We weren't really interested so much in the feminine as much as what gives access, and there seemed to be something up about the feminine. So we created this class, and the women came, and we had about 30 of us in a circle. It was the kind of space that we were in at the time. And we began to look at qualities that were associated with the feminine and qualities that were associated with the masculine. Now, there's a whole conversation at the moment about, you know, what is masculine, what is feminine anyway, and I don't necessarily think it's particularly helpful in a conversation that has to do with accessing power to particularly get hung up on that. But what we did find is that there is something in your lived experience that gets evoked when you think about the masculine. It evokes something in our lived experience. There's something, when you think about the feminine, it evokes something in our experience. And so what we really found in that course, when we looked at all of these, you know, common assumptions about what masculine qualities are, you know, kind of hard, penetrating, you know, make it happen, mind-oriented, goal-oriented, and you look at the qualities that are classically thought of as feminine, common assumptions about what the feminine is, whether or not you agree with them, just very common assumptions in terms of, you know, intuitive, nurturing, flow, surrendered. A lot of these qualities that, you know, we think of or come to mind. We really noticed that there was a real attraction towards these more feminine qualities, but the women in our particular group were very reluctant to go there because, you know, ways of knowing and relating and being that were more inside of these feminine qualities, it occurred like there was a loss of power there. But somehow we really saw that power had been really much more associated with ways of knowing and being that were traditionally much more masculine. And it was really interesting because we began to see how in a culture that has valued these masculine ways of knowing and orienting over feminine ways of knowing and orienting, that there's a way that our personal and spiritual development has, you know, also been oriented in this much more masculine mode, which has really helped our growth in many, many ways, but also hindered our growth in other ways. So we began a whole inquiry about what it would be to actually source our own development and power inside more of a feminine, feminine ways of knowing and relating. But when we came to do that, we began to see that the feminine of the recent and ancient past was a kind of insufficient feminine to really catalyze the kind of co-creative power that we were really seeking to unlock the potentials that we're holding. And we really saw how, you know, the sort of masculine system of power has really helped us and empowered us become very, you know, objective and rational, and these have been critical pathways in our own development. But the sort of masculine system of power is really, you know, the limitation is that we can really only create what's predictable and what's controllable. And what's really happening for us en masse as women right now who have the privilege from being freed up from the task of just surviving and feeling this impulse towards higher conscious evolution and co-creation is that there's a sort of individuation impulse to really awaken to the truth about who we are and why we're here, but also to really develop in those ways that are going to matter when it comes to bringing forth our gifts and our talents and making an impact on the world. You know, just about every woman I meet, you know, has this experience of, you know, wanting to actually cultivate and develop and give her gifts in a way that will really contribute to the evolution of consciousness and culture, whether she's aware of that language or not. That's the impulse of like wanting to actually step forward and support. So in that process, we really developed a whole series of principles and practices that radically began to change our own lives personally and have a profound impact on the women in our community. And the core of it had to do with creating this new way of relating to each other that was really inside the principles of evolutionary sisterhood, that we began to come together and really bond inside of our shared vision as opposed to our victimization. We began to step into a place of profound self-responsibility. We began to really stand with and for each other and become partners in our own development, recognizing that we really can't become ourselves by ourselves, that we need each other's mirroring and support and reflection back to be able to see, you know, those things about ourselves that I really have been in the way. And that in that kind of environment, what began to happen for me was that I was able to begin to take the kind of risks in my own growth that enabled me to develop in ways that I could break up the personal patterns in my relationships that had really been the glass ceiling. You know, I had this real pattern of invisibility, of disappearing myself in my relationships and serving and supporting other people. But the piece about that that needed to actually develop was my own ability, say, to be able to presence myself, to be connected to what I was feeling, what I was needing, what I was desiring, to be able to make that present and visible and transparent. It's like, you know, the process and to relate to it not as a psychological issue, but as something that actually needs to be evolved. You know, we relate to a lot of these things that we have, or problems or challenges, as like they're issues that somehow they're fixed. And so we began to take this real approach of evolving beyond the patterns of the past and being able to then move into a place of beginning to really co-create with life and beginning to create the kind of support that would be required for us to show up in ways that really unleashed our potentials and made the biggest impact that we could with our gifts and talents on the world. And it was just spectacular. I mean, I think within a couple of years of kind of deep practice inside these principles that we developed, the feminine power, and Catherine and I really became unrecognizable, as did so many of the women who were core part of that group developing that work. And we really continued on. Every year we had an advanced program, a mastery program that we did in person. We're now offering it online and opening it up to a much wider audience. But it was this core laboratory of development of this sort of new culture and principles and practices. And what began to happen ultimately is that, you know, my relationships changed. I was able to really finally have the experience of there not being a gap between, you know, the sort of sense of what I was here to really contribute and create versus, you know, how life was showing up. And that really was the experience for Catherine and so many of us as well. And we were kind of stunned in actually looking at what we had developed and discovered and identified in our work. And I'm kind of a little in awe, actually, because it really was, you know, not just me. It was like the grace of this sort of relational context and collaborative intelligence of myself, Catherine, and so many of our students over so many years inside the sort of larger intention that I think has really allowed the emergence for what has now become the feminine power teaching and community to emerge through us. So,
well, it seems like you've something has caught fire, because it's such a dynamic process. Some of the things that you just said that kind of, I don't know, I felt like I got a peek under the tent flap, so to speak, you know,
yeah.
A sense of mutual support, of a collective field of intelligence, of a different kind of sisterhood, and maybe of a of particular processes that people worked together that where it was as if lightning struck, I guess. what do you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think it was that was holding? I mean, obviously something must have been pent up, right? I mean,
yeah.
Even though women have been liberated on many levels for a long time, something was still not working for women about maybe the traditional spiritual paths or psychological processes. Something wasn't getting unleashed that you happened into in your process. Do you have any insight into what that might
right.
be, what it is that doesn't work?
Well, I think that the thing that what we really saw in terms of many of these traditional paths of spiritual and psychological practices that really don't work for women, you know, one is they're isolated, right? So it's like we've been working on ourselves by ourselves for 20 years and making slow and steady progress. And, you know, we've really found that for, you know, it's very difficult for us to develop in the ways that are going to matter without this kind of evolutionary partnership and this sort of larger container of learning community, because it's really a process of development that we need to engage to realize our personal and spiritual potentials. And development, you can't do that by yourself, really, in a way that's going to be significant. And the second thing is just the conscious mind orientation of so many, in spiritual traditions and psychological paths really being kind of designed by men with a bias towards a sort of conscious mind orientation of understanding of philosophy and, you know, even understanding of, you know, psychology and theory and your kind of patterns doesn't necessarily give us access to being able to do what we see is of central concern to us, which is not just have more insight. I mean, even the most profound and exquisite awakening to the ground of being inside a traditional path of meditation doesn't necessarily empower us developmentally to be able to consciously evolve the old structures of self in a way that would enable us to, in this particular time that we're living in, actualize the creative potentials and then empower us to be able to give those and contribute those and generate those into the world in a way that they're going to have the biggest contribution to really, you know, supporting the evolution of society and culture. And many of us don't have language for this, but we just know in our bodies that the time that we're living in, our participation, our development, the bringing forth of our gifts, the contribution, that is critical. And that a new spiritual path, particularly for women, needs to actually be one that gives us access to the co-creative power to realize the greatest possibility of who we are spiritually, to actually develop in ways that are going to have us become aware and awake to the larger context of who we are and why we're here. But then, and even more importantly, to actually be able to bring forth who we are in ways that have an impact. I mean, for me, I couldn't even, I just described myself after all these years of spiritual and personal growth as a, you know, a professional bodhisattva. I had no idea how to create a context in which I could contribute the gifts that I developed in a way that would have an impact or enable me to actually create a livelihood that would support me, or, you know, in a way that would enable the gifts and creativity to be given into the world. And so this is really what's missing for us as women. And I think that's really been the you know, incredible response to what we've created by women is it's just meeting the deep and unmet needs that we have to begin to know how we can not just be sitting on the cushion or the couch, but to really become full, empowered, active participants in co-creating the future of our lives and the future of our world.
Wow, beautiful. Well, that kind of leaves me curious. There's several directions I want to go at once. I guess where I'd first like to go, it sounds though as though you've brought this this deep learning on your own background of in transformational learning to bear in a pretty powerful way here. So there, I'm curious what the practices are like. Can you share something about the core practices of this new form of women's spirituality and how that shows up in people's lives, in your life, or the lives of women in your community?
Sure, Terry, I'd love to. I'd be delighted. Well, it's like really a shift from seeing power as external to seeing power as internal, right? So it's like we really are, even those of us who have been involved in, you know, spiritual practice and personal growth work for years, growing up in this culture, and we're all in a collective trance about somehow, you know, the power to really grow and develop ourselves lies in the externals of life that we need to have. You know, if only I had more time, more money, more this, more that, more support, then I could actualize this potential that I'm holding. And the core shift has to do with really becoming conscious about ourselves as the creators of our own experience. So, you know, a lot of the higher levels of even conventional development are really the foundation from which we can actually begin to consciously evolve. And, you know, for many of us as women, there have been like really big developmental gaps between, say, the sort of rich cognitive development versus our kind of emotional development and our ability to bring all of the different parts of ourselves together. So it's very difficult to begin to consciously evolve beyond the patterns that have been the glass ceilings on our personal and spiritual potential without having a sort of generative relationship between the self that's in our mind and the self that's in our body. So the core power base, one of the first, the foundational power base that we begin to cultivate in feminine power is this new generative relationship between all the different parts of ourselves so that we can actually become conscious of how we're interpreting and responding to life. And this is just so important for us as women because we just tend to experience life so emotionally that even if we do a lot of meditation, when we're navigating life, we're just overwhelmed by the sort of emotional responses. And meditation can certainly help us disidentify with thought and feeling, but we're kind of in one step further in terms of actually becoming aware of how we're consciously making meaning really requires us to begin to develop a new relationship with a part of the self that's actually having the emotional experience. And so we say power base number one is this co-creative generative relationship to yourself, and that's really where there's access to the power to truly change your life and evolve beyond these past patterns. So a lot of the foundational practices have to do with kind of developing the new muscles to become consciously aware of the underlying meanings that are generating feelings, to be able to, you know, name, give language to the different feelings and distinguish what were actually happening in our inner life. And I'm kind of amazed because we so often have the experience of women who are very, very, very developed, done like decades of personal and spiritual growth, who don't necessarily have language to distinguish different things that are happening in their inner life to be able to make the assumptions that are coming up conscious. And so in doing that, begin to, in practicing that, what happens is that we can actually fast-track the process of development. Once those inner muscles are built, you can begin to become very conscious and clear of different experiences in your relationships, you know, at work, whether it relates to your professional life, how, you know, this particular part of the process in which you're actually contributing to being the source of that experience, you can actually begin to evolve it and shift it very, very quickly. So, you know, typically what happens when women apply, you know, this sort of first kind of practice, developing these new ways of relating to different parts of themselves, is that they're able to really get access to liberating themselves from patterns that have been all pervasive for decades. So very, very quickly, because they can begin to see how they're interpreting and responding to what's happening in ways that actually give them access to real choice in how they're responding and then how they're generating a different experience. So we know spiritually, like this is the kind of difference between sort of this approach. Like we know inside spiritual traditions, well, there's always you, the free chooser, who's making a choice. But it's like, what's the process by which that happens through us? And what's the process by which we can actually experience the kind of leverage in our psyche for that to feel real? So that's really what begins to happen inside this kind of practice, is that there's access to like this, the real choice around how you're responding in ways that actually begin to generate a radical, shift in your experience. So it might be that you've had the experience of trying to, put yourself out there for years and, in ways that other people, don't show up and actually support you. And having this kind of relationship with these different parts of yourself can actually create the internal shift that enable you then to show up in new ways that just break through these old patterns very, very, very quickly. It's this thing that I really appreciate, is it's like very direct process of development in a way that's ongoing. So that's just an example of one of the foundational ones. There are others that have to do with moving into co-creating with life and developing new ways of relating to other people. But is that a kind of good example?
Well, that was
make it clear.
Yeah, that was very, very evocative for me. I found myself thinking, gosh, I know a lot of guys who'd like to go through that process. In a way, this whole matter of really becoming capable of a level of effective choice in life is, I think, a theme for men and women. But
sure.
I was reflecting that perhaps the, just traditional male role and the male expectations have men relating to that challenge in a different way than women do. And that for women, the experience of working with that issue and that transformational process probably might be harder to do in a field that includes men who are probably unaware of how often they elbow women out of the way inadvertently. So I can see why a field of co-creativity among women might be important, but I wonder if some of these same processes might apply to men too.
I'm sure they do, and I'm sure that we're all open for men to come in and begin to take what we have and build upon it. And our real orientation has been exactly what you said, that the container for our development. We really believe women need to be together and with each other. And there's a way that if men are in the room, it really shifts how women are able to show up. And particularly when we're looking at what's critical is that we have a container in which we can develop. And that's really hard when we're with men, because we want to show up in ways unconsciously that have us look good. And it's not a container in which we can begin to take the risks in new ways of showing up that really actually help us to forge those pathways of development. And also, our actual processes are exactly like you said. They're oriented towards the particular pathway by which is most going to support women to develop that particular skill and capacity, given the structures and consciousness from our evolutionary past. And they are different for men and for women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It leaves me thinking, though, that if we are to forge a new cultural, truly we need an awakening that's very broad, that includes people of every, certainly men and women, but even people of every value system, of every ethnicity, of every station in life, of every class and attitude. There has to be an open door to everyone. We have to find ways to co-create and to work together. Do you see some new doorways opening up in terms of co-creativity between men and women? I mean, we're co-creative friends. Certainly you're up for that as a principle, but what intuitions do you have about how that might unfold, especially when women sometimes need to get together just with women? And men get together with men, but they're, even if we have a men's tent and a women's tent, we need an open tent. And what happens there?
Well, I think that's a great question. One thing that I do know is that inside the development that I've been able to engage for myself or with these practices and as part of our feminine power community, I feel empowered to actually show up as a full co-creative partner with men in a way that I didn't before. Like, I didn't have the confidence previously to be in full partnership with men in a way that I could say what I thought, what I felt, I could disagree, I could hold power without feeling in a way that was not going to intimidate but create a field of empowerment for the other men who I was with.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't something that I couldn't do before, and so I just know that there's definitely so much more to build upon this, but I feel like I'm at a starting point where I can really begin to engage that question with the, you know, incredible, you know, co-creative male partners that are around me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, it seems to me that we're in just a brave new world with all kinds of new territory. Relationships are changing, gender roles are changing, the relationships between men and women are changing, and often this is confusing, as confusing to men as it is to women. And I don't know if we can go into this kind of territory with me, like asking you for answers, but perhaps
I think they're great questions. We can engage it together. I mean, the thing that I know is that the men in my life are like, you know, happy and relieved that when I engage, like in the process of my own development, I'm able to come into a conversation where I can, you know, not react emotionally. I can actually hold and contain my own experience, and I can, you know, really be available to partner. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's very, very exciting. And I'm sure there's probably the equivalent pathway of work that men need to do inside themselves to be able to arrive at that place where we can really begin to co-create together. What do you think about
that? You get a bunch of really strong, liberated women, and the men are going to probably be going into a tent together to, we need to talk, guys, what, how do we deal with these women?
Well, you know what's really interesting?
Well, you know, I don't find that with you. Well, you're just a strong person, you know.
Yeah, but the thing was, okay. that's because of this sort of the kind of, you know, the work I've been doing in developing that sort of deep connection to myself, to others in life, as opposed to this kind of, you know, faux power that I feel like I used to have as a woman who was sort of very identified with her intellect, and I'd be with men in ways that were intimidating. I mean, men used to run screaming.
So you think that the more empowered feminine leaves more room for the natural power of her male friends and co-creative
partners? Completely.
That it's in a sense a more permissive or more nurturing environment for a full dimensional man who's in touch with his inner masculine and feminine, and, you know,
right.
Well,
for everybody, you know, I think that the empowered feminine, I think if we're really kind of developed in this sort of holistic way, that there is a way that being, you know, receptive is not a loss of power. Whereas if you haven't really developed and reclaimed that in yourself, there's a way, if you're in that receptive mode, you feel invisible and disappeared.
Yeah.
And that's certainly how, you know, I used to feel. And in my relationships with men, I was like very kind of dominating. And
because you're
present,
always
because
compensating for that.
Right,
always,
exactly.
Always trying to get back
exactly.
from a leg down, yeah.
Right, the real co-creative partnership wasn't really possible without that development inside of me. And that's what I've really found has just been one of the delights of my own evolution inside these processes, in just the extraordinary, strong, powerful, incredible men, intelligent, evolutionary, who are, you know, really wanting to partner. And like you, Terry, in all sorts of ways. I mean, really, it's just
an
incredible experience to not feel like there's like a power struggle, to not feel like, you know, there's a way I can be, you know, open and receptive, and, you know, we can actually be shifting who's holding the power. You know, we can actually be going, passing it back and forth. And that's really exciting, what becomes possible between men and women from here. And I think it's really what's going to be required for, you know, women and men to engage this kind of development, to be able to come together as real, true co-creative partners.
I feel that this is huge. It's even more powerful and important and significant because in some way we have to move to a new phase in which collaboration can, in a sense, outcompete an old paradigm competitive mode in which it's always kind of every man for himself, every man, every woman for themselves. We are needing now to co-create and collaborate in a way that's more effective and more powerful than the old competitive model. And so we're
right.
forging some new pathways culturally altogether, men and women, women with women, men with men, you know, every
Absolutely.
Which way.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for helping to break up some of these stucknesses. I know many men feel kind of among women who are angry, I guess, or resentful
yeah.
in some way, many men
Take
feel
quiet.
That they have to walk on eggshells, and there's
right.
a lack of that powerful synergy. We've got to break through that because we have
right.
we've got some work to do.
Well, and right, we do, and women really need to develop to be available for that as much as men do. It's not just somehow like men have to, you know, apologize to us. We actually need to engage the kind of development in ourselves that would enable us to actually feel secure with our own power and our own visibility and take responsibility and give up victimization. I mean, these are really core things historically in the culture of women, you know, that need radical evolution in us to come into the fullness of our power both individually and as co-creative partners with men. Absolutely.
That's beautiful. I you know, it leaves me thinking is this word power and empowerment. In a way, it has to do with wanting, and I want to thank everybody who has offered questions on the Facebook page or in the blog. There was an interesting thread on the Facebook page. A woman named Kai wrote a post which included this phrase: "To want something, or attention, love, shopping, smoking, or drugs, the flood of entertainment, as well as salvation, relief from our suffering, enlightenment, self-discipline." It goes on and on. Should we try to include in our spiritual practice the art of not wanting? And then a woman named Karen replied, "I've spent a lifetime manipulating and controlling my wanting to avoid suffering. It has not been a successful strategy. In fact, I would say it has caused more harm than good. Wanting or desire is a powerful energy that can be harnessed for our evolutionary good." Would you like to comment on this? Because there's a paradox about attachment and lack and, you know, need as a negative thing, and then this powerful force of wanting that may be an evolutionary force.
Mm-hmm.
How does that relate to this empowerment that you're working with?
Well, I love this question, Terry, and for everyone who's been engaging it, it's actually the second area that we go into in our feminine power practices, which really have to do with cultivating the core practices for co-creation. And we talk about moving out of our relationship with God as a parent. You know, most of us have this sort of our lived experiences that kind of, you know, God is a kind of big daddy in the sky, and if we're good girls, we'll get what we want. Even, you know, we've been doing lots of practices, it's like unconsciously that's our relationship, as opposed to seeing ourselves as partners with the energy and intelligence of the universe. And in terms of the idea about wanting, and if there's a place in spiritual life, it depends on what the goal is of the particular spiritual practice or pathway that you are following. And so what we really offer in our work is to actually see the goal of spiritual life as the evolution and actualization of the individual and the individual's potentials in service to the evolution and flourishing of life. So that the actual motivation for developing your gifts and talents is not so that you can get what you want. It's so that you can contribute to the evolution of consciousness and culture. And so then the practice of being able to bring forth these gifts and these potentials, actually the idea of really tapping into the deeper desires that we're holding actually becomes very, very important. That where wanting is like suffering is most of us are kind of anchored into a consciousness of non-possibility and lack and limitation. in our bodies, our actual like lived experience. We've had traumas, we've had disappointments. Our actual embodied experience is that life is somehow not supportive and not on our side. But for so many of us, in spite of a kind of cognitive understanding that, you know, everything's interconnected and everything's one and life is good, that the actual experience in our bodies somatically is that, you know, we're kind of not supported by life. And so what happens is that we're beginning to feel these sort of co-creative impulses. And it's a very, very different thing that's actually happening at this particular moment, because the desires that are really awakening in us have to do with creating the future. If you think about a context that has to do with evolution, it's about creating the future. It's about the process of midwifing the unmanifest creative potentials of life into the manifest world. It's about the process of really bringing forth the unrealized consciousness and creativity into form in a way that the manifest world begins to reflect the underlying intelligence and creativity that's at its core, right? So if you kind of see that this is sort of the process of conscious evolution and co-creation is inherently going to do with bringing things into the world that don't exist yet. And that's one of the things that's so challenging for us at this particular moment, is that we don't necessarily know or see what it would look like to realize our own personal and spiritual destinies.
And the world is changing so fast.
Right.
Also, the complexity.
Exactly. And, right. So that the task that we have in realizing our potentials has to do with navigating our way to a destination or a future that doesn't yet exist. So it's a different system of creation that we need to begin to cultivate to actually become the kind of conscious midwives or shepherds of the unmanifest potentials into the manifest world and desire from what we call in our work power center, from a place of being connected to the deeper truth of who you are and life and the kind of context, the deeper desires that we're holding actually become the, you know, the source of co-creativity in our lives. Now, when we tap into the deeper desires, and it's interesting, the Latin root of the word desire means to await what the stars shall bring, as opposed to the Latin root of the word to want, which means to lack.
Mm.
So if this idea, await what the stars shall bring, desire anchored into power center, where you're really connected to the deeper truth of life and you're receptive and you're not aligned with your own will or the kind of ideas of your mind about how you can get what you want, but you're surrendered and you're open and you're receptive and you're really inside a place where you're asking to actually have your life be given to contributing to your gifts, your talents, to evolving the world, then you begin to ask the question, welcome in the deeper desires that you're holding, really the first step in the co-creative process. And one of the questions we like to ask is just a core way of beginning to tap into this, is just, what do I most deeply desire to experience, to express, to create, to contribute? Because what that does is that really shifts our orientation from, being, because when you're in wanting, it's like somehow your goal is like the acquisition of objects is like the goal. Like if I want something, it's like there's something out there, as opposed to shifting into being a co-creator, where you're tapping into your desires and you actually become the source or the vessel by which this new creative emergence is actually finding its way into the world.
Yes, I feel that very strongly in my own life, that in some sense there's a strange attractor of a positive evolutionary future that's wanting to find its way into form.
Right.
And I'm wanting to simply surrender myself open to be a vehicle for that to manifest. And that sense
right.
of activation really is a lot of what guides me in my, everything I do, really.
Right, that's absolutely it.
You know, there's something else that showed up. This showed up on the blog page. A woman from France asked this question, and then I also noticed on the Facebook page there was somebody from Oregon who asked, where can I find other people who are interested in evolutionary community? Now, we're creating virtual community here, and maybe some people will connect up and create something independent of that. But obviously, this whole matter of experiencing fellowship and this special sisterhood energy that has erupted in your work requires structures. So I'm curious what the structures are that you've created.
Well, the question about community is such a great one. We've certainly found, it's one of the things that we say in Feminine Power is you can't become yourself by yourself. And so, you know, any community,
that's
any
a great line.
It's certainly a positive step. However, I just want to distinguish very quickly that it's a particular way of being in relationship with others where there are shared agreements around development and specific new ways of relating that actually empower that development to happen, that actually makes the difference in creating the kind of community that will unleash these potentials. And I know that this is something that, you know, Andrew has really pioneered in Enlighten Next, and Craig really works with and you work with and some other people. And it's certainly the foundation for the work that we do in our community, which is now a global community, and our courses are virtual, and the women in their local areas will meet up live in person. But there are very specific shared agreements that actually enable this kind of evolutionary sisterhood and the power of the collective field to be unleashed and activated, that's very different to people just coming together to support each other. It's like a level that's beyond support that has very specific ways that do unleash a different kind of power. You know, we've all had experiences of community, it's sort of support, but without that kind of context of evolutionary partnership and the specific development that needs to happen to relate to each other in that way, what can happen is that just the, you know, unconscious agreements around prevailing culture, particularly in the culture of women that have to do with just affirming each other, you know, a kind of what prevails in our meetings, and there isn't the kind of authenticity and transparency and partnership that actually unfolds in those contexts. So I would just encourage anyone who's like trying to find community to just begin to look for communities that are coming together inside of an evolutionary context that have shared agreements that enable new ways of relating to each other, because that's where you're going to be able to access the power of the collective field that, you know, with a we feel is the critical piece to be able to develop and grow and actualize your potentials in the ways that, you know, really, you know, matter when it comes to you know, becoming the person that you came here to become and making the contribution you came here to make.
Yeah, so important. So many of us are far less alone than we feel, and
yeah,
we need to recognize that in order to feel like we have the support, the air under our wings, so that we can really do what we're called upon to do at this point. I see that too.
Yeah, but the exciting structure, you asked me about structure. We actually have a 9-month program called Feminine Power Mastery. It's now in its sixth year, and we taught this program, which is the core feminine power. It's the advanced course. We have an introductory course that will be coming out soon on CD. But our 9-month program is really a program that's designed to create a container to come together with other women from all over the world to learn this new way of being evolutionary sisters and to really cultivate and develop in a way that will enable you to bridge the gap between the sort of potential for your life versus your ability to feel like you're really on track. Development and growth is going to be ongoing, but the goal of the actual mastery program is to really cause a shift so that you feel like you're now on a path that actually has momentum to really being on track. And we'll be opening up spaces to people who were not part of our June and August classes probably in the next week or so. And for anyone who wants to find out more about our work, you can visit femininepower.com and download a free audio called The Keys to Feminine Power, Awakening the three power bases of the co-creative feminine, and you'll receive an audio link with a wonderful overview of the core principles and practices of our work. And we will also email you information about the 9-month program as soon as we make those spaces available to participants who were not a part of the June and August programs. We're going to be doing a little mini intensive to catch you up. It starts on October 19th, and the experience is going to be extraordinary. We're expecting 500 women to be a part of that program from all corners of the globe, really coming together at a very high level of commitment to develop and grow and transform and realize the greater potentials of their lives. So I'm very, very, very excited and about the start of that course coming up soon. So femininepower.com.
Yes.
You can go and visit.
Well, you know, I want to make an announcement, a sponsor announcement about that at the end of the call too. So I will I will absolutely do that. You know, this has been a very engaging conversation. I feel like I could just pour into it, but I see I'm a little over the time when I had intended to open this up so that others could join in and ask questions. So if you're listening on the web, please, if you have a question, go ahead and type it out. It's best if the questions are reasonably concise because it takes time to read them. If you can type that out in the window in the web page, the instant teleseminar window, we'll be able to take those in a moment. And right now I want to thank the presenters of this series, Integral Spiritual Practice and Evolving Wisdom. Beyond Awakening is also being made possible and is presented free of charge by the generosity of our sponsors, including the International Society for the Study of Subtle Energy and Energy Medicine, ISIM. ISIM welcomes researchers, healers, teachers, pioneers, anyone who is dedicated to living subtle energies as they relate to consciousness, healing, and human potential. ISIM is a world forum for promoting understanding, exploration, research, and application of the energies of consciousness. That's ISSSEEM.org. Three S's, two E's, ISSSEEM.org. And also by our friends at Tools for Wellness. For over 22 years, the people at Tools for Wellness have been leaders in offering excellent products for self-awareness, consciousness exploration, behavior modification, meditation, learning, memory, sleep, dreaming, sound therapy, stress, relaxation, noise reduction, EMF protection, and a whole lot more. They are reliable and fair. I encourage you to check out their website at toolsforwellness.com. That's toolsforwellness.com. And finally, this coming Thursday, again at this same time, be sure to tune in for the next dialogue in this series. I'll be talking with Gangaji, the internationally renowned spiritual teacher whose work is dedicated to the recognition of the peace and freedom that is inherent in the core of all being. And I'll be speaking with her at 5 p.m. Pacific time this coming Thursday on What Are You Practicing? Okay, let's get into the question and answer segment of tonight's event. And let's see what we have here. I see a question. Where are the women's tents? Where and what is the context of this feminine community? You're articulating very eloquently the sense of community, mutual support, and encouragement that is a necessary link for the next stage of mental, psychological, spiritual development for women seeking the next stage of this miraculous adventure. Where can I find such a community or incubator? Well, you kind of just answered that. Do you want to say anything more about that, Claire?
Yeah, no, I think come visit us at femininepower.com and we'll certainly share with you what we are offering and have available. And I think my other comments about what to really look for are probably how I would just respond to this question as well.
Well, great. That seems a woman from New York named Penelope asks, I'd like to hear some concrete examples. So if there are any stories you'd like to tell, I want to welcome you to do that. Are there some particular stories?
Sure, absolutely. About I'm just trying to think about, there are so many different stories about, you know, different aspects. You know, one of the stories that I can just share as a concrete example is, you know, there was a woman in our courses who she came in because she had tried a lot of other things. She'd been doing a lot of different work on herself for many, many years. And she still felt this sort of underlying sense of anxiety, but didn't really know what it would look like to be on purpose with her life. She knew that she had some kind of purpose, and she didn't know exactly where to go or what to do to realize that. She was someone who was just inherently a good person and very, very kind. But she really discovered in her work, in the work that she did in the mastery program, that you know she had this core pattern of invisibility, of really disappearing herself in her relationships and not being connected to her own needs, her own feelings, her own desires, and ultimately her own creativity was really thwarted inside the sort of chronic pattern of self-abandonment and people-pleasing. And so in the course, she really developed this capacity to have a very generative, co-creative relationship with herself and with life. So she began to get a certain kind of authentic confidence, and her relationships, patterns in her relationships, like, really changed. So she began to experience a lot more mutuality, where other people began to organize around her needs, feelings, desires, and she began to tap into her creativity. She realized one of the things that she'd always wanted to do was explore fashion design. And she'd always dismissed it and thought it was very kind of unspiritual and superficial and never really given herself permission to do it. But in the practice, it was something that really kept coming over and over and over again. And so she began to make clothes that were just a real expression of her own creativity, like really for herself as a way of actually breaking up this pattern of invisibility. She realized that she'd never dressed in a way that reflected who she felt she truly was. So other people, you know, that was one of the ways in which other people didn't really see her. So she began to create this sort of clothes, and all the other women in the course, of course, she was very, very good at it. This is kind of amazing talent that she had. And other women in the course really, you know, supported her and then began to notice. And, you know, pretty soon just her friends started giving her orders about, you know, making clothes for them. And then their friends kind of began to notice. And pretty soon she had all of these orders, people wanting the clothes that she was making, that she, with the help of her sisters in the mastery program, actually launched a small business. Making clothes.
That's cool.
And she did, and it really took off, and she began to, you know, because she was a real stand to bring kind of spiritual values into the fashion world. So she used all kind of recycled and organic clothing materials, and kind of set up ethical relationships with suppliers, and she was a real stand for this. And we heard from her, you know, about a year ago when her she actually met a man who was a conscious entrepreneur, and I began to now kind of elevate her to talk about you know her own leadership in her business, and she launched this whole business in her local area that took off. And it's kind of, she really was just an unrecognizable person. About 2 years after she finished the program, she emailed us and said that she just jumped out of a plane, and that person who was just shut down in fear is gone, and her life is just completely different, and she feels like she's has a context in the world now to be herself and give her gifts and her talents and be continuing to develop in a way that has her feel on course and on track.
That's great. That's great. So, that's very, very, very interesting. And I'm thinking of all the people here who I think are interested to ask questions. I want to take one more from the Instant Teleseminar window. But those of you who've called in by phone, I want to invite you to participate. So we've had a few requests about questions. More people will have questions and we'll have time. So if you have a question, please make sure it's a question rather than a commentary. And please try to keep it, you know, as direct and to the point as you can, and trust that Claire can understand it without a whole lot of extra context. So if you do that, you'll give somebody else the opportunity to ask their question too. And to raise your hand, please press *2 on your telephone, and it'll raise your hand. And in a little while, we'll be able to call on you. So we're invited to raise your hand if you have a question. And meanwhile, I'd like to take a question from a man in Calgary, Canada. Blake Anderson asks, us men always want to know what women want. What would you say women want at these higher levels of development?
Oh, gosh, what do women want? Someone who can really stand for the potential of who they can become and exert the kind of both tension and support for them to develop in those ways that are going to matter when it comes to really going all the way for the possibility for who they are and for their kind of personal and spiritual growth and their leadership and their contribution. That's certainly what I get.
So that's
from
what
my
women
husband.
Want. That's what women want in a man.
To
answer
yeah.
his question. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's
cool.
Certainly the answer to my prayers and my husband. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, we have a question from S. Sullivan in Hull, Massachusetts. Please go ahead. You're unmuted. What's your question?
My question is, because I really come from a place where I'm much more connected to men and supported by men in my advocacy that has to do with women's health and spirituality, is I don't understand why women are in a movement by themselves without being in partnership with men, because in order to cause a shift in conscious thinking, men and women have to come together to go forward. So I'm not really sure why so many calls are being done with just women empowering women.
So your question is, you don't feel that need to be empowered by other women so much. You're happy to just work as a partnership with men, and you're not so sure that women need that, and so you're kind of wanting to question that?
My question is that I feel this is a big divide where men have a tremendous amount to contribute in a balance of men and women in coming together on a higher level of conscious thinking. And I'm just not quite sure why there aren't more calls that incorporate men and women together.
Like this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thanks so much. I appreciate your question. Claire, would you like to respond to that?
I'm sorry. I didn't catch the name of the caller.
Sheila.
Sheila. Hi, Sheila. You know, this is such a great question, and I so appreciate it. And, you know, I think it's really both and. I completely agree with you. It's critical that men and women come together in full partnership to co-create the future of our world. And there's certainly a context in which we need together. What we've really found is that there's also a context in which it's really helpful and supportive to our development to be together with each other, because there are a lot of ways in which we as women need to develop that are specific developmental challenges and opportunities for us. And something changes when men are a part of that process at certain stages in that development, that we found in our community, that women are able to access something by being together, with the focus being on the particular developmental challenges and issues that women have, in a way that really empowers that growth. And, you know, the interesting thing is that there is something that's happening in the experience of women that is different to the experience of men. You know, I think we were looking at last year when we sent out the Women on the Edge of Evolution announcement last October, and since then we've had 70,000 women come together to sign up, and I think we were citing examples about how Maria Shriver's Women's Conference, there are, you know, 15,000 tickets sold out on this idea of women being the architects of the future of the world. And you kind of think, you know, if there was a conference, you know, for men, on men, the architects of the future, it's like, they're, you know, men are not responding in the same way. So there's a way that at the moment there is something that's happening in the experience of women that is unique to women's experience. And it's something that there's a tremendous empowerment that I found in creating a context to actually engage what that is and to develop in these ways. But ultimately, I completely agree that we need to circle back and come together again as a larger community of co-creative partners to be able to move forward together. And that's critical. Completely agree.
Thank you, Claire, and thank you, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila. Thanks for the question.
We have a question from Susie Kincaid in Eagle, Colorado, I think. Is that you? Your line is unmuted. Susie?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Susie.
Hi. Thank you for doing this work. It's incredibly important to women and to men and to the future of our children and the world. So grabbing that balance and getting it all done is it's pretty big stuff. But what I heard from the woman who said, where is the tent? I need a tent. And I would love for you to just sort of address beginnings, because I know I run women's programs based on the work of the Star House in Boulder, Colorado, which is another fantastic resource for men's and women's authenticity empowerment programs. I have certainly felt that through my work with women, and I do young women as well, ages 12 to 18, that coming together in a place, as wonderful as the web is, and I applaud the work you're doing because it can be global, but coming together and touching each other and being together in a container is so important. Can you just talk about some little ways, ideas that you have seen work really well for women to just begin taking those baby steps towards gathering?
Sure. Well, I think it's recognizing first. I think it's a great question. And, you know, I think that in many ways, you know, the web is just wonderful because what it enables is people in rural areas to begin to access and form relationships with women who feel and think the same way as they do. You know, a lot of parts of the world, it's hard to get together with a group of 25 women who are having this experience of awakening to want to really participate in evolving consciousness and culture. And that's what we've really found that the online community provides. And also in the cities, a lot of women don't necessarily have time to meet on a regular basis, but there's an opportunity to attend gatherings to connect. So, and you know, in a lot of ways also, I mean, we began our work in with six women in our own kind of a smaller venue and circled out from there. And I've really found that both are great. And one of the things that I think we can do is actually give up the idea that we could succeed by ourselves without this kind of support. So it's to, you know, take the initiative wherever you are to create space for women to come together and gather. And certainly find out about what's going on in your local area and also what's available in the online forum, and offer your house. Be generous. Be willing to be the one to actually take the initiative and to extend yourself in ways that might be a little outside your comfort zone. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of us are kind of, you know, feel kind of a little bit awkward, you know, in actually, you know, putting ourselves out there in that particular way. So that's the first thing. It's like, you know, it's a kind of a mind shift and recognizing it's actually a very healthy and critical need that we have to be together and be willing to put yourself out there. I think the second thing is actually cultivate a willingness to for it to be imperfect. You know, recognizing that what we're trying to do is pioneer something that's new. That, you know, what's kept us isolated from relationship is that we haven't been able to navigate a lot of the tensions that come up in having intimate and authentic relationships with other people. So I think it's also being willing, you know, to give each other a lot of space and recognize that everybody's kind of new at this and learning how to come together in ways that would actually truly support each other. And so you want to just give people a lot of leeway and at the same time, you know, kind of give, you know, give people feedback, have boundaries, have expectations, whatever you want to do. But you know, just see the larger context of what's happening. And I think thirdly, you know, it really has to do with beginning to, with everyone in your life, not just women, actually share about who you are and what you stand for and ask for them to join you in partnership. That's one of the practices that we invite everyone to do. You know, begin to relate to each other inside of your shared vision as opposed to your kind of wounding and victimization. There's a way just in the culture of women we just habitually bond over where we're victimized and where we're disempowered and kind of refuse to buy into that, refuse to kind of buy into ourselves as powerless and not, you know, and being in non-possibility and just instead actually say, hi, my name's Claire. I'm standing for the evolution of consciousness and culture in the world. Would you like to join me in that? And be willing to kind of put yourself out there in that way and to, you know, be willing to actually be very self-responsible and to grow yourself to grow yourself in a, on the inner level in a way that would enable you to be, you know, good at partnership. So I think it's to not assume that we're good at relationship just because we're women and that, you know, we're kind of on a pathway that we need to develop to be able to have the kind of relationships with other women, with other men that are going to unleash our potentials.
Yeah,
so,
that's fabulous. Thank you for that response. And I have one more quick question. And
I'm sorry, we're being asked not to say yes to that. I'm sorry,
okay.
But
no worries.
Thank you. That
but
was a great question. So
write to me on Facebook or visit me at femininepower.com, and I'll be happy to answer your question, Susie. Sure.
We have a couple of really interesting questions here on the Instant Teleseminar window that I want to try to squeeze in before we have to finish. From your hometown of Sydney, Australia.
Yay, Sydney!
Yeah, someone named Mercy asks, do you think women's fear of the effect of their own feminine power on men has prevented us from making this leap on our own or perhaps hiding the progress that we have made? You say that you used to send men running, but don't you think that men can be equally threatened by the true feminine qualities that we seek to develop?
Not in the same way, I would say. I think that's a really good question. Not in the same way. You know, I haven't really found men being or threatened or the, you know, by when I'm really authentically connected to myself and able to be visible and transparent and to be self-responsible, which is, you know, really, I mean, I think ultimately what we're calling feminine power is a certain kind of integral power and development, but it's actually, you know, really scooping in this particular developmental pathway of being able to source power in relatedness to be able to get there. But when I'm centered in that place, I don't find men reacting in ways that are, you know, at all that they're intimidated. In fact, what I find is that men just want to actually serve my creativity and what I'm wanting to bring forth and generate in really powerful and extraordinary ways.
Well, this is an interesting segue into the same question is actually being asked by a friend of mine from Mexico City, Javier Carriega, and also a fellow named Riggs from San Francisco. They're both more or less, well, I'll read how Javier put it. Integrated women such as Claire must also acknowledge a leadership role about working with men to integrate and express fully, not only a healthy masculine energy, but also to recognize and develop our feminine energy in order to fully express our potential. And Riggs is saying, are you currently doing this work with men? Men and women together, he's asking for. It's a little different. And then he says, where can we start? So men are responding to what you're having to say.
That's amazing. Well, I'm really excited to hear that. And I'm kind of busy right now with all the women in our community. I would love to be of service to men. You know, I actually did a class for men once. On the secrets of generative power, kind of apply these principles, but I just recognize just in terms of the amount of time that we have, that our kind of primary mission or calling was to really serve women. I would love to do work with men, you know, and I think that's just an exciting thing to just be open to in the future. You know, our real primary focus has been to create this context for women to develop, but I'd be really interested to look at the ways in which, you know, men can really be supported to begin to cultivate these practices as well. I don't know, maybe Terry, you and I can begin to have that conversation together.
Well, that would be a very
major
creative push, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, thank you.
You can help me
do
some research on that, and we can figure it out.
kind of got our hands full right at the moment, I think.
Yeah, but you know, the answer is, hey, I would just love to, you know, and you know, I know that there are some also there are a lot of programs that are available that are extraordinary for men. I mean, there's, you know, Andrew's work is wonderful. Craig, my husband, is also doing wonderful work. And Terry, you're also doing wonderful work, not specifically for men, but certainly that's oriented towards development, that's certainly engaging and supporting men where they are. But,
well, thanks. Yeah. You know, I feel like I just want to keep going on one level, but on another level, it's my job to try to bring things in something like the time frame that we have set out, and that's up. So thank you, Claire, so much. This has been a really interesting and fun and energetic and provocative conversation, especially looking at the kind of questions and comments that have been coming in. So thank you, everybody, for joining us and engaging as you have.
Thank you so much. It's just been a delight, and we'll have to do a dialogue one day where we just push into that question. This last question, I think, is just wonderful.
Yeah, it's really got me thinking right here, right now. Yeah,
it'd be great.
Well,
thank you so much. It's just
wonderful.
Been,
yeah, thank you so much.
Well, it's been an honor and a delight.
Yeah, please stick around to hear the goodbyes. We're all going to open up the lines in just a couple of minutes, but I want to offer a few reminders. If you're interested to dive deeper into this conversation, be sure and join our Facebook group where you can engage some of these discussions. Facebook.com. You can search for Beyond Awakening or just click on the link in the email we sent you earlier today. Many of you may not be getting our emails. Just make sure to check your spam filter and make sure that BeyondAwakening@EvolvingWisdom.com is in your address book and you'll get them all. Make sure to tune in this Thursday. I'll have a dialogue with Gangaji, the internationally renowned spiritual teacher and author whose work is dedicated to the recognition of the peace and freedom that is inherent in the core of being. And we'll be talking about what are you practicing? We usually tend to think of practice as what takes place in meditation or when we're doing yoga, but what are you practicing the rest of the time? What's the ongoing conversation in your mind? Where's your attention when you're not doing a so-called practice? And if you or anyone you know might be interested in this series, please forward them one of our emails so they can join us too, or invite them to register at beyondawakeningseries.com. And if you want to learn more about my work, please visit integralspiritualpractice.com. And finally, I want to ask some of the partners and sponsors who've made this all possible, especially Maestro Conference. Maestro Conference is a unique voice-based online collaboration platform that integrates the web and your telephone to support large-scale, real-time, remote conferences, seminars, and interactive events. Using the latest and best technology that empowers individual awareness and engagement, Maestro Conference offers a whole new way to engage people and create relationships and conversations, combining the ease of passive media with the engagement and excitement of live events. Visit them on the web at maestroconference.com. That's M-A-E-S-T-R-O, maestroconference.com. And also by our sisters in evolution at Feminine Power, where evolutionary women around the world are waking up to their extraordinary and committed passion. Find out more about the acclaimed work of Claire Zammit and Catherine Woodward Thomas and download a free 75-minute audio introduction at femininepower.com. It's titled The Keys to Feminine Power, Awakening the Three Power Bases of the New Co-Creative Feminine. And that's at femininepower.com. And also by our dear friends at Integral Enlightenment. Integral Enlightenment is an authentic, contemporary approach to spiritual practice designed to bring about a total transformation of our humanity. Founded by evolutionary pioneer Craig Hamilton, Integral Enlightenment seeks to revitalize the spiritual path to meet the evolutionary needs of humanity in the 21st century. Integral Enlightenment is a path for those of us who know deep down that spiritual life is about much more than our personal happiness or contentment. It's for those of us who feel compelled to transform ourselves in order to serve the greatest calling there is, further evolution of life, humanity, and consciousness itself. To find out more about the work of Craig Hamilton and Integral Enlightenment, please visit integralenlightenment.com. And next Sunday, a week from tonight, Dr. Rick Hansen will join me and bring his deep engagement with the practical implications of contemplative neuroscience to discuss the awakening brain. So please mark your calendars. And finally, I'd like to thank you for joining me. And Brad, can you open up our phone lines so that everybody can hear each other's voices and we can all say goodbye? Thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
How do we get on the next conversation? Carrie?